Mr. Kurt, how are you, sir?
I am excellent. How are you doing?
Good. I'm good.
I'm lying. It's snowing. We had 8 inches at about 11:30, and I would say we got another, at least another three, maybe four already, and I can't see across the street. So
Oh, well, that sounds
that's
wonderful.
a lot of snow. Yeah. So anytime you get a foot of snow or more in Chicago, it's not a good thing, especially when you're in the car business and you work on car lots. It doesn't, not conducive to getting anything done today. So,
I wouldn't
no.
think so. Well,
Well.
so I got this thing going. We're recording, or I'm recording this, so obviously we could play it back. So I appreciate you being the guinea pig for us on this one.
Okay. I'll try not to swear too much. How's
No,
that?
I don't think it'll matter given the audience for sure. So, well, cool. Just to, for those of you that don't know who Kurt is, Kurt Carlson. Kurt is the owner and grand poobah of all things at Illinois Auto Group. You guys have been in business since 2006, I think. Is that right?
Yeah, we started late 2006. I really kind of tell everybody that's what it says on my cards, but we really kind of started finding our rear end in 2007. So,
Okay, cool. And then you've been a customer of ours for at least like what 4 or 5 years, I think early 2013. You got
it might have
started with
been.
this, I want
Yeah,
to
I
think.
think so. It seems longer than that, but yeah, it's somewhere in that range. So
I know I have
you
less
came and
hair
saved
now
me.
than I did when I first moved here, so.
Yeah, well, you let me try to figure out how to make it work. So that was the first mistake.
Well, cool. Well, if you wouldn't mind, and I'm sure everybody would like to hear a little bit about your background. Kind of the purpose for the podcast is to interview folks that have been in the business for a while, chat with them about, kind of where they got their start. Were you always in the cars, that kinds of stuff, and then just a little bit about, kind of how you grew the business, challenges, that kinds of stuff, and hopefully the team and other folks will get some value out of hearing your story, and that's. So that's kind of how we got here.
Okay.
So if you wouldn't mind, just tell us a little bit about how you got your got started and what types of repairs you guys do and services, that kind of thing.
Okay. Well, prior to this, I was in a family-owned business that I had actually been in since I was about 9 years old. Ended up in 2000, I think it was 2005. My cousin and I, who were owners of it at that time, we ended up selling it. And it was time to figure out what the next thing to do. So I know I didn't want to start something from scratch all by myself because that would end in disaster. So looking for a franchise. Always liked cars. Found at the time it was owned by a company called Automotive Franchise Systems. And it was a little franchise called AutoQual. Concept was it would work on used car vehicles of new car franchises. We would do everything. We took it the car from detail to retail. So we fixed anything that was left after the detail, rips, tears, burns, stains, those kinds of things on the vehicles. What I liked about the business. The previous business I came out of was a beer distributor, and we had it was a wonderful life. We had huge overhead. Our workman's compensation premium for 1 year was $1.1 million. It
Oh.
was a you know so there was a ton of we had lots of money. But there was a ton of expenses. So what I liked about this franchise was there was no very limited overhead. It's basically mobile services. You don't have to have a lot of brick and mortar, and you can scale it quickly. A lot of it falls to the bottom line. So that's why I got into the business. I found out very quickly that there was a boatload of paperwork that went along with this. And from the very beginning, when I got in it, I was hounding whoever was at the helm of the franchisor that we had to get some type of system that would automate, you know, our invoicing. I mean, our guys would handwrite invoices, which right there was a disaster. Then my managers would hand enter those invoices into QuickBooks, which was another disaster. And then I would have the accounting people try to figure out what happened in all of that phase to get it corrected. So scaling wasn't as easy as I thought it was going to
be. Yeah, I remember when we first looked at you guys getting spun up on using Recon Pro, just taking a look at your QuickBooks. It was definitely unique, to say the least. And by unique, I mean arguably the most complex small business setup to this day that I've ever seen inside of QuickBooks. I don't think there's too many folks that have ever taken it to that level of detail that you guys were able to. So, but yeah, definitely entering the data.
That wasn't a plus. See, that was the part that was the problem, because that had my fingerprints all over it, and I definitely killed it by making it too intense. I mean, we created a lot of great points that we could track information and so forth on, and still do to this day, but it created a very complex.
We definitely definitely see that a lot with companies that are, you know, especially with QuickBooks. You know, you don't, in the lack of having a tool that's specific to the industry, you know, you see all different kinds of solutions, spreadsheets, you know, whiteboards, you know, various different QuickBooks stuffs, you know. And then the other thing that I've and I don't know if this was your experience, but you know, chances are a lot of the managers and stuff, you don't probably want them poking around and seeing what owner equity you're taking out of the business in there. And if you just give them access to QuickBooks, that possibly could happen.
Well, and I mean, I didn't, my managers would basically, I had kept the accounting firm from the old beer business, and they were basically my back office. But the downside of that was a tremendous cost. We were paying probably in the range of $35,000 to $40,000 a year to have them on board, which, I mean, I can get a bookkeeper for, you know, a third of that cost. So, you know, but because it was so complicated, I had to have somebody that could handle all of that stuff, and it sure wasn't going to be me. So I just created the mess. I let other people work through it.
That's funny.
So you guys kind of came to the rescue.
That's awesome. So you guys are still, you're still 100% mobile. You don't have any shop space like you were talking about with the lots of snow. I mean, that means you're not going to be on the lot in that type of weather in Chicago, obviously.
No, not at all. I mean, at this point, in fact, now honestly, this is going to sound weird, but I'm very thankful it's happening now, because it'll give the weekend for the guys to get the lots cleaned up. And we can possibly start again on Monday, but in all honesty, it only leaves Saturday, because this is supposed to go on until about 6-7 o'clock tonight.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, they were saying about, you know, originally it was like 8 to 10 inches. Well, like I said, we got over a foot already, and I think we're going to go well past. I mean, I'll bet it's going to be 14 to 16 inches by the time it's done. So that's a big snowfall in this area all at once.
Yeah.
So I'll be lucky to get working on Tuesday.
Historically, Chicago's, you know, pretty cold. You guys do get quite a bit of snow, definitely more.
Oh yeah, we do, but it's but it's not all in once. That's the thing. I mean, you know, we always joke about people coming around here, because it's like, well, we know how to drive in it, we know how to get through it, and so forth and so on. Because it's just, it's an from early December through definitely late February, this is what we deal with. But usually, it's not like where it shuts you down, and this is that kind of snow. So.
Gotcha. So when you first got started, what was it like getting started? I mean, were you initially, you know, repairing vehicles, or did you go about trying to find technicians that were already knowledgeable about this stuff? Or
had that now, see, if my employees heard you say that, they would be rolling on the floor laughing their butts off. For me to touch any of that stuff and work on the interior of a car, they would absolutely tell me to get out of their way. No, that was never my intention. In fact, that was the one of the big changes I did with the franchise that we bought. Originally, it was kind of, you know, get in the van, start working it, build the business up, then, you know, get enough, bring somebody in to help you. Then they start, so get a van for them, and then you kind of get out of the van. And my thing was, no, I'm not, that would not be, that would be counterproductive based on my talents, because they're not, they don't lean that way at all. So no, I've not. I actually set it up as an executive model. I hired I actually found a couple managers right off the bat, was very lucky. One of the guys came out of, he was the facility manager for one of the largest CarMaxes here in Chicago.
Okay.
And just timing was perfect. He decided to leave them. He was going to go work for Lithia or one of the other companies that said that they wanted him in Chicago. And then they changed their mind and wanted to move him out to Denver. And he's like, no, not moving. So he was unemployed and, you know, was able to pick him up. And his name was Jim Mervis. I credit him. He did a tremendous amount of getting this thing off the ground and going in the right direction. So
that's awesome.
So he loved ReconPro. When we finally found it, you know, he was very pleased, very pleased.
That's awesome. Yeah. So you'd had the managers and then the managers, then kind of run the crews, correct?
Yeah, that was it. I had a crew down in, Bloomington, Normal. That actually was in place when I, purchased the franchise. This gentleman had been friends of one of the owners of AFS and, had been kind of noodling around with it. So that was a good jump off place. But then I found Jim up here in the Chicago market and, you know, again, we got it rolling up here, early January of 2007. So that was kind of where it all started.
Gotcha. Gotcha. That's cool. Now you guys, you approach the market a little bit differently, you know, than a lot of folks, and, you know, specifically with your inspections and kind of your go-to-market strategy. You know, care to comment on how you guys approach it? Or is that too much secret sauce?
No, I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of other folks that do this type of business. I think there's probably three major competitors in our field. You know, how we differ is some ways good, some ways bad. I think the good thing is we focus on the interiors. We have a program. We don't, you know, we're not going doing what's phrased pick and choose. We don't get on a lot and ask them what they want us to do. We basically sell them a program. Under the program, we go out. Every car that's on the used car lot is something that we go through. Every new used car that comes onto the lot is something that goes through the service and we bill for. And then as the car sits in inventory, if it's test driven and so forth, we'll do a thing called a refresh on that car at no additional charge. What I see is the strength of that is once we're managing the inventory, that's really what we're doing. We're managing their inventory. And we can manage how that inventory looks. Which is kind of, that's our secret sauce. I mean, you know, the people that love us the most are the salespeople because they know they can show a car with confidence. If they see that driving style sticker on the window, they know that, okay, we've been through that car. There's no surprises and, you know, they're going to be able to have a good piece of inventory to sell.
Right.
And so that's kind of it.
You spot check your guys pretty closely, or the managers do. I recall you had a pretty comprehensive, like a quality assurance program or quality, what is it? Audit?
Yes. Yep. It's a quality audit program, but actually that came out of my absolute hate for hourly wage. When they started this, you know, that was, they said, okay, well, you start everybody and you start them at whatever at that time early on, it was like $8 an hour. I think now when I'm training people, we train them at $12 an hour and move them to 14, 15 pretty quickly. But for everybody's head to me to be in the same place and aligned with the same things that I wanted to be aligned with, you know, I knew a commission based pay for the technicians was going to be the way I wanted to go. But you can't have it straight commission without some ability to go back and check and make sure that, you know, the quality is there in the first place. So about 25%, maybe a little bit more of our technicians' income comes off the quality audit system, which you guys helped me put together and get on ReconPro. It's really awesome. I mean, that In fact, that has become the basis of our training for a new technician, because in that quality audit process, we teach the guys exactly how to find every single little thing that might be wrong with the interior of the vehicle, and you go through it.
Right.
And now, as we're started moving into exterior services, we're putting together the same type of thing, which I'll be talking with somebody at Recon Pro soon, of developing and adding now an exterior audit program besides. So,
it's interesting you mentioned that. I spoke to a gentleman that was talking about, you know, commission, and they do kind of full automotive reconditioning, but just about all of their folks that, you know, quote unquote work for them are they're contractors. They're not employees. So it's nice to see that you've got employees. But what they are doing with the commissions, which is interesting, is they had these reports where basically every day they would show, you know, everybody's pretty much on the same commission level, but they were showing how much each person was, their revenue was. And then,
oh, that's good.
It was good. Except what happened is they don't have that quality audit. And so the technicians just start, like, they start competing with each other, and they just start cherry picking the easy cars.
Right. Right.
And, you know, on a package deal, then they're going to get the same amount on an easy car as they are going to get on a car that's, you know, possibly needs a little bit more work.
Well, and again, that's part of the problem, and you have to manage to that. I mean, because that's not the only thing. I mean, we put production bonuses out there and a couple other things, but I think what we've just started doing is paying a lot more attention to, you know, hiring the right type of people. So that when we're going through that process, yeah, I want somebody that wants to make money, but I also want somebody that's going to have some pride in the work that they do. Because trust me, I've had the other side, and it's like, yeah, the quality audit, that is a nice safety for that. You know, it ends up, and we're actually probably going to increase. Right now, I take 5% of the vehicles that they do within a month, and that's pretty much the number of vehicles that we go out and check on. I'm toying with the idea of increasing that, because as we're starting to scale, I think we need to look at a little more of those vehicles on a regular basis. It gets a little more expensive because I've got to have more people to do it, but I think it'll pay off in the long run.
Nice. Do you still have the managers going behind the guys doing that stuff, or?
Actually, right now it's I do it along with my salesperson. Both the managers I start with have gone on to other things.
Okay.
And we had kind of, you know, when I started it, it was, I had more money than brains, and I threw a lot of it into the business. So we had a pretty quick growth curve there. It was not sustainable the way we had done that. So I kind of cut my teeth and learned what we needed to do. The last, Mike was the last one that left. He left 2 years ago. We're a little smaller, but we're twice as profitable. And now I feel like we're headed in the right direction. Both of my sons are in the business. Nick, I think you've met both of them. I know you met Joshua, my eldest.
Yeah, I think I have met both of them.
I'm to the point now, both of them are in it almost since the beginning. And it's kind of time, like, all right, it's getting time for me to back out a little bit, and you guys need to step up. So I'm going to be putting them more into the management positions and instead of production. And then kind of going from there, because right now they're both in vans. So I want them out of the vans.
Out of the vans. That's cool. What, when you were first getting started, and, you know, along the way, I mean, you said that you were, you know, had more money than brains, and you guys, you know, were able to ramp up pretty quickly. What were some of the issues you guys ran into when you were kind of gaining traction in the market? Or was it always pretty smooth other than spending a lot of money on it?
No, well, I mean, initially it was kind of at, you know, back in when we started, while the business had been around, it really hadn't been fleshed out. I guess it was still something that you could walk in and talk about, and people were impressed with what was getting done and so forth on the vehicles. You know, now it's a little more jaded. We had, we went through the whole recession thing. I mean, that, not only did that affect a lot of car dealers, I mean, that kicked a whole lot of people square in the teeth. I mean, our business dropped off dramatically in that time period. Just, I mean, heck, there were dealers gone that were customers that just right. ceased to exist. You know, so that was kind of it. I think it was just more of, you know, we grew it real fast. I wasn't paying a lot. This was prior to quality audits. This was prior to, you know, really knowing what it was that we were trying to accomplish with the, you know, with the business. I mean, my goal at the time was just get as many cars as we could get. Now my goal is, you know, I want to provide our customer with the ability to sell more cars. You know, that's more of our focus, and how do we do that? And how do we help them be a little more profitable, along those lines? You know, now we offer, a warranty program and so forth. So there's lots of things now that we're starting to branch out into that, I think long term are going to be much better for our business. It's much more sustainable than just the one thing that we were doing.
Gotcha. Yeah, we're seeing that a lot more with, you know, reconditioning companies, you know, or interior repair, what have you, really trying to focus on helping the dealers get their cars frontline ready, you know, as quick as humanly possible. So being responsive, having somebody that's going to consistently check on them. We've also seen a lot of folks have kind of a, it probably wouldn't make sense for where you guys are located, but definitely in the warmer climates, we see a lot of companies do the service, like in the, they actually have like a sales rep in the service drive writing estimates for retail customers. Yeah. So we're seeing lots of stuff like that for sure. But that's cool. I didn't know about the warranty program. That's new.
Yep. No, I mean, we always had one, but it was never something. About 3-4 years ago, we started looking at setting it up in such a way that it was something that our customers could sell. Because there's plenty of warranties out there that, you know, F&I sell right now for vehicles, but the majority of them are sold on new cars. Because our world is used cars, and the way we do the program, it's, you know, we can certify a vehicle that may or may not be something that a previous insurance company would want to insure. Whereas we did the work, and it's a repair only type warranty. But again, you know, one of my better customers is one of those insurance companies, and we go out and fix their customers' cars at their residences and so forth. So that's kind of what got me interested in it. And there seems to be a market for it. So we're still kind of fleshing that out, but yeah, there's some interest in that too.
That's
awesome. And I think you guys will you'll play a part in that too, because I think it'll help us. Being able to track the vehicle through Recon Pro is going to help us long term. So
that's
another thing I'll be talking to you about.
Yeah, I was going to bring up, we have, not to pitch you on other stuff we've got on the call, but we actually have a service contract piece that's specifically for that. So it doesn't manage them like signing the paperwork, but it helps you manage the warranty and what services were done. And then if, you know, there is a claim on that or whatever, then you'd be able to dispatch that out to a tech. So I'll have to chat with you about that, but it might be right up your alley. We actually designed it probably like 4 years ago, 3-4 years ago with a company out of Texas that wanted to do that for dents. Yeah. So
Definitely. Let's after this, I'm interested because it's, you know, we've diddled around in it a little bit, and all of a sudden it's starting to get a lot of traction. And I'm like, okay, once again, I don't want to create a bottleneck. So yeah, definitely. Let's talk about it.
That's awesome. Cool. Well, if you were going to chat with somebody that wanted to get into the, you know, kind of cosmetic auto recon space, what would be one piece of advice that you would give them about getting started the right way? I mean, it doesn't have to be just one, but you know, some advice for somebody that's, you know, kind of new in the space. And
well, you know, again, it's be ready. I mean, you better be well funded, you better be very committed. You're not walking into a business that is nobody is going to meet you at the door and go, oh my gosh, where have you been all my life? Here's my money. You know, you're gonna have to find a way to be different. You're gonna have to find a way to be better than what's already out there, and you know, go from there. Once you do, like I said, the business model itself, I love it. I mean, it's a highly profitable business, but again, it's, you know, you gotta sell it every day and make it work. I don't know if that's good advice, but that'd be the advice.
Be ready. Yeah, have some money, because it might be hard to get some new accounts and be committed. You know, I think that's super, yep, super advice, and selling every day. And actually, I didn't see you at Mobile Tech Expo this year, but we actually did a presentation on what we've seen in the market, and you know, it was actually pretty scary. I think it was probably because it was a low hail season. But we were seeing like average repair costs down like over 9%, total car counts down were, you know, down, you know, somewhere like 18-20%. Are you seeing any of that over near you, or is that kind of isolated to?
You know, I don't know if, I mean, we grew about 18% last year.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And my goal is to, I mean, I've got a 5-year goal. We want to really kind of get it to where it needs to go. I think the car business, if you're just looking at the, you know, and again, I don't deal necessarily in hailstorms or the consumer side. Okay. Mine is strictly business to business. Car business, for the most part, was still, I mean, it was leveling off, but it was still up. And, you know, for the most part, we found a pretty positive year out of that. So, you know, I added personnel, and I'm looking forward to the same thing this year. But again, I'm way underdeveloped in my marketplace. So I'm embarrassed at where I'm at. We need to grow it a lot faster and then kind of go from there. So.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. We saw, you know, the average repair price going down. Average car count going down, obviously revenue was down, and the number of techs that are active went up. So it's
that was what I was just going to say. I was going to say that's probably why, because you've got such a competitive market space right now. I guess that would be my other piece of advice to somebody looking to come into this business. Don't at the moment. Don't. It's highly, there's a lot of folks in there, and I mean, and that's kind of what our approach is at this point. I'm tired of watching folks that don't care about the business or the product they produce and so forth as much as we do getting business. Those are my targets. You know, I think that's where we want to try to get some of the business out of these other guys and go from there. Cause again, for the most part, like I said, I don't think anybody, you're going to walk in and they're going to go, oh, I've never had anybody do that before. You know, I mean, it's kind of like, yeah, it's all out there. It's just a matter of, you got to be better. You got to make it easier for them. You know, and that's the other thing. You didn't even say that, but that's part of it. You know, we have to make it easy for our customer to use us big time. And, you know, I think having the automated system right now, I mean, come on, you can't beat it. So that works out well.
That's awesome. Well, cool. Well, I think I'm fresh out of questions. Only last one, and only because I heard it on Tim Ferriss's podcast, which I definitely want to hear what you have to say. He always asks folks on his podcast, you know, is there a recent purchase, $100 or less, that's had a significant positive impact on your productivity?
$100 or less.
And don't tell me like a squatty pot or something like that.
Yeah, there is. I mean, it's something more direct to our services.
Sure.
And we found a new supplier on something that has helped us out, but you know what? I really can't go into it, because that is some secret sauce. But yeah, we did find something. It cut our expense in that area by a factor of three. So
oh, wow. That's
I'm,
huge.
I'm excited about it, and yeah, I'm hoping that we can actually work it into something else. So we'll see what happens.
Excellent. Well,
you still there?
I am still here.
I heard rustling noise.
I was coughing my head off and eagerly trying to hit the mute button. So I apologize.
Gotcha.
Well, Kirk, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. Hopefully this hits the airwaves in the next week or so, and I can hear how dumb I sound on the call. But you've been a rock star, so thank you very much. I appreciate you taking the time today.
No problem, Nick. Have a good one. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Kurt.
Bye-bye.
Bye.